Well, you know what, friends? I've got some good news for you today, that God has got a miracle in store for you this year. I know we're into the fourth month of the year, but God has a miracle for you in His hands for your taking. We've been on a series over the last 4 or 5 weeks called Going to the Top. Going to the Top. And friend, you may be faced with a mountain in your life today. Maybe financial distress is your mountain, or physical illness. Maybe it's emotional or relational problems. God is wanting you to climb the mountain in your life higher and higher until you get to the top. With God's grace, God's strength, you can conquer the mountain facing you today. You know, don't let the mountain in your life stand over you and intimidate you. In the name of Jesus, you can climb that mountain and stand over it with God's grace and God's strength. Amen?
Amen.
You know, last week we talked about a key principle in conquering the mountain facing you. A key principle in conquering the mountain facing you. What was that principle? Getting to the top of the mountain in your life. Okay, obedience, that was one. A couple of weeks ago.
Faith,
that's a good one. A key principle in conquering, going to the top of the mountain that is facing you right now. And the principle we talked about was focus. What is focus? What is focus?
Faith.
How do we define that? A focus is a concentration of your time, your energies, and your thoughts for the fulfillment of a specific goal. Focus is a concentration of your time, your energies, and your thoughts for the fulfillment of a specific goal, for the climbing of a certain mountain in your life. And we read from Proverbs 29:18, and it says this, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Another version says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. You know, it's easier to have focus when you have a goal in your life, right? Something to work towards. If you don't have a goal, you really don't have focus. And if you don't have focus, distractions can come into your life whereby you're chasing so many rabbits and not accomplishing anything with the life that God has given you. So we could read Proverbs 29:18 to say this. Where there is no vision, where there is no goal, the people get distracted. But we can also say that the opposite is true. Where there is a vision, where you have a goal, the people stay on target. They fulfill the vision that God has given them. They can get to the top of the mountain facing their life. Amen?
Amen.
Yesterday we celebrated what? Palm Sunday.
Wow.
Palm Sunday. And Matthew, in his gospel, Matthew chapter 21, records the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Matthew 21. About a week before he was crucified on the cross. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Verse 9, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's focus on verses 10 and 11 of Matthew 21. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." You might be wondering today in your own life, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that Christianity is all about? Have you ever wondered who Jesus is? Friend, he is more than just a mere human prophet from Nazareth. You see, when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he came to earth as God in human flesh. He is God the Son, and don't let anyone or anything tell you differently. He is the exact representation of the Father's being, according to Hebrews 1, verse 3. Jesus Christ is God the Son. And the Word of God says in Isaiah 53, 5, that by His wounds we are healed. Do you know what this word healed means from the original Hebrew word? It means made whole, healed thoroughly, made whole in every part of a person's existence. You know, the name Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, Yeshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus means salvation. You see, Jesus came to save the human spirit from the grip of sin and from the bondage of hell. But he came to save the entire human existence and every part of its being. He came to bring you wholeness in your body. He came to bring you wholeness in your emotions. He came to bring you wholeness in your relationships. And most important, he came to bring you wholeness in your spirit. You know, as you're climbing the mountain that you're facing in your life, you may hit some tough times. You may hit some bumps and some humps. The going may get tough. But when the going gets tough, the tough, they do what? They call on the name of Jesus. And this is the key spiritual principle I want to talk to you about today on climbing your mountain. The name of Jesus. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is power in the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands at attention. Amen. There's God-infused power in the name of Jesus. I want to talk about some of the instances from Acts where the name of Jesus was called upon and power was released. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to talk about the crippled beggar who was healed. After the day of Pentecost, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Verse 2. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Verse 5, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. So those that were looking on were amazed. And if we go down a few verses, Peter is preaching to them. And this is what he says in verse 16 of Acts 3. Let's go to verse 15, actually. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given complete healing to him, as you can all see." How can we can see here that there is power in the name of Jesus for physical healing. You know, Peter and John were facing a mountain in Acts chapter 3. What mountain were they facing? They were facing a mountain of physical illness in the life of the cripple. In order to climb this mountain and conquer it, what did they do? They called on the name of Jesus, and the crippled man was made whole. His legs became strong. He was jumping up and down and praising God. And friends, you may be dealing with physical illness in your life today. That may be the mountain facing you. I encourage you, as you're believing God for your healing, call on the name of Jesus when the going gets tough. Amen. There is power in the name, and I assure you that Jesus will heal you, because the name Jesus means salvation, wholeness, wholeness for the physical body. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the power of the name of Jesus to conquer the mountain facing you. You know, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were upset. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So, in verse 3, they took Peter and John and they threw them into jail until the next day. And so in verse 5, the next day, the rulers, elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Verse 7, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? The healing of the cripple. And then Peter said in verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Here's the key, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation of the human spirit from the grip of sin, salvation from hell, is found only in the name of Jesus. Friends, there are not many roads to God. There are not many ways to heaven, no matter what anybody tries to tell you. There is one way, there is one road to God, and His name is Jesus Christ, God the Son. Salvation is found only in that name. Jesus said it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Friend, if you find yourself in a life or death situation, call on the name of Jesus and He will save your soul. Because the name Jesus means salvation. It comes from Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. You know, there's power in the name of Jesus for the casting out of demons. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, demons tremble at that name. They can't stand the name of Jesus. It's just too powerful. It's just too pure. It's just too full of light for them. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were in a place called Philippi. And in verse 16 of Acts chapter 16, it says this. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Kind of mocking them. Verse 18. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. Paul and Silas were facing a mountain. What was that mountain in this instance? Paul was facing a mountain in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and forward. He was facing the mountain of demonic oppression in this girl's life. He needed to conquer this mountain, so what did he do? He called upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the Spirit left the girl. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that if there's demonic oppression in your life, trying to rob you of joy and peace, call on the name of Jesus. Why? Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. He wants to replace your turmoil with His peace. But call on His name and develop a relationship with the person behind the name. You know, back in 93, it was about October of 93, I was going to Oral Roberts University. It was my first year, and I was with a street outreach team from ORU. And we were here, right here in downtown Tulsa, by the post office. We were in groups of two. And we were just going from person to person and sharing the gospel. Well, it's a long time ago, almost 15 years ago. There was this little lady, probably about 5 foot tall. And she was talking with us, and all at once, her voice went from being the voice of a woman to the deep voice of a man. And she just started communicating with me. It's like these demons were afraid. They were communicating. And she basically said, the demons in her said, "We see Jesus all over you." And I called on the name of Jesus. And basically, one of the other things I remembered about the encounter was that it said this. It said, "You've got the key that locks the door to our freedom." And I kept praying in the name of Jesus, and demons were coming out of this woman. And friends, there is power in the name of Jesus to lock the door to the freedom that demons have. So if you encounter it in somebody else's life or in your life, just call upon the name and devils will have to flee. You know, there's been instances where I've been sick in my body and needing healing. And I've just prayed a simple prayer. I know that in the name of Jesus, I can be healed. And within just a short period of time, the healing comes. Friends, there's power in the name. You know, one time, this is about a year and a half ago, I was sleeping in my bedroom. I was on the bed, and all at once I sensed this strange demonic presence kind of in the room. Almost a paralyzing force. And I could hardly move my mouth. I thought the name Jesus. I just thought it. And the demon fled out of the room. There's power behind the name of Jesus. Now, here's the key. There's a key to accessing the power behind the name of Jesus. What is the key to accessing the power behind the name of Jesus? What is it? What is the key to accessing the power behind the name of Jesus? Anybody? Okay, this brother says speak. Anybody else?
Believe.
Faith, okay?
Believe.
Believe. The key to accessing the power behind the name of Jesus is a relationship with Christ. How many here know the story about the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19? These were vagabond Jews, having encounters with devils and trying all kinds of different ways to cast devils out. And one of the ways they were trying to cast devils out was by using the name of Jesus. But it didn't work. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Verse 15. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Why was there no power when the seven sons of Sceva called on the name of Jesus? Why was it that there was no power? This brother said it. There was no relationship with Christ. And friend, if you want there to be power when you call on the name of Jesus, you have got to have relationship with the person of Jesus behind the name Jesus. You see, Jesus wants to be your Savior, and He also wants to be your Lord. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You see, if you don't have a relationship with Christ or with God, you can go around calling out the name of Jesus around somebody who's demon-possessed. And those demons won't do anything. But if you have relationship, friendship with Jesus, and you call on that name, those devils will have to flee. If you've got relationship with Jesus and you're facing physical illness, emotional problems, relationship problems, and you call on the name of Jesus, guess what? You will have a miracle in your life. You will climb that mountain. But the key is this: relationship. You see, Jesus wants to be your Savior. And when you accepted Jesus and said, "Jesus, come into my life," He became your Savior. But He wants to be more than just Savior. Jesus Christ wants to be Lord. What does the word Lord mean?
Submission.
It means what?
Submission.
Okay, submission, that's good. Anybody else?
Father.
Say it again.
Father.
Father, okay. Anybody else? What does Lord mean? What does it say?
Sovereign ruler.
Sovereign ruler, you got it.
Ruler over all
right. That's it. The name Lord, the word Lord means ruler. Jesus wants to be ruler over every part of your life. He wants to be in full charge of every part of your existence. Imagine your life like an automobile. Who is in the driver's seat of your life right now? Is it you or is it Jesus? You may be in the driver's seat of your life. You may have control of the steering wheel in your life. Guess who wants to take the steering wheel of your life?
Jesus.
And it's only when you give Him the steering wheel of your life that there will be power when you call on His name. He wants to be Lord, the one in charge over what you look at with your eyes. Is what you're viewing holy and righteous and pure before God? He wants to be ruler, the one in charge over what you do with your body. Remember, your body is a temple of God. Don't abuse it. Take care of this temple. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be the one in charge of the thoughts that you think. Are your thoughts godly thoughts, holy thoughts, or impure thoughts? He wants to be the one in charge. He wants to be the Lord over your words. Do you speak righteous words when relating to others, or do you speak unrighteous words, unclean words, cuss words? He wants to be Lord over our mouths. He wants to be Lord, the one in charge over your relationships. Friends, He wants complete charge over every part of your life. He wants to be Savior and Lord.